Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first, or rather the zeroth, episode of Friend Request, a brand new show where nobody really knows each other and nobody knows what's going on. My name is Brett, and joining me is my new future best friend, Glenn.
Hi.
Hello. So, tell me a teeny bit about yourself, but not too much.
I am a sound technician in Toronto. I work in live theater, and I tour a lot with the shows that I work on.
When we were scheduling, you kept mentioning that you tour a lot, and that sounds far too cool for you to be talking to someone like me.
It's I guess it's cool, but it's very difficult. it's hard work mostly, but I like it. I get to see places I would never visit on my own. So
what exactly do you do when you go on these tours?
I'm an A1 on two different tours, on and off right now, I guess. Make sure the sound stuff for the shows, get set up right. I set up everything at the new location each day, and then I mix the show while it's happening and then lead the audio strike back onto the truck.
That sounds pretty damn cool. I used to do a little bit of that sort of theater tech stuff, and then I decided I prefer to be at the center of attention instead.
Right. Yeah. I prefer to not be, but
I do a little bit of performance, not nearly as much as I'd like to. And the amount of times I've had to do shows without sound technicians, nobody really recognizes how important they are until they're not there.
Yeah, and that's also kind of the goal, is for people to not realize you're there.
But, like, when you're not there and I have to juggle my own sound cues or pull a random guy out of my group of friends, none of whom know anything about sound, It does not. I hate it so much. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what is this project?
This is a project where we don't know each other at all. And I intentionally didn't. I've been talking to you on Facebook just to set this up, but didn't add you on Facebook and didn't internet stalk you at all. So.
Which is very difficult in this day and age. It's so easy to stalk people.
Yeah. But I guess it's about becoming friends.
Indeed. I didn't look you up either, and we are not friends on Facebook.
Cool.
I had the idea for the show and didn't really think the idea through, just put it out there, and then all of a sudden I got a lot of people wanting to do it. So I kind of feel bad for not thinking about it more.
Can I ask why I made the cut?
I don't know. I wanted someone not English, which immediately makes it very difficult for me time zone wise.
Also because you were looking for diversity, right? And I am an out trans person, and I talk about that a lot.
I did not intend to just out you then, and now I feel bad.
No, I accidentally set you up for to do it, and didn't mean to, and didn't want to put you in that position. So I just wanted to get out ahead of that, so you didn't have to.
Oh, that's good, because I was floundering then.
Yeah, sorry, but also that.
And I had a look at the people who came through. Some were just way too far away time zone wise. Like a couple of people from like Washington State. And I've tried to organize interviews with people from back there, from over there. And I'm like, no, at no point do our time zones align in a way that's ever convenient. Right. So where are you from? I mentioned England. So
I'm from Toronto right now, always. My home base is Toronto and I'm not on tour.
You're from Toronto right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I live in Toronto. I grew up just outside of it.
How is Toronto?
I love Toronto a lot. And I don't know, our transit system is a mess, but I love it anyway. Have you ever been to Chicago?
No, I've only ever been to Florida as far as America's concerned.
Okay, well, it's a lot like Chicago, but I guess that doesn't help.
It's a really great reference point.
Yeah.
I've always said if I was going to leave England, it was going to be either New Zealand or the Toronto area of Canada.
Mm. Well, I'm a big fan of Ontario, so I say that's a good choice. I've always wanted to go to New Zealand, though. I've never been there.
Rules of the project, because we're sidelining.
Yeah.
And we're going to start on a massive tangent and not go anywhere.
If we become friends, I will probably want to add you on Instagram, but I'm assuming, or like Twitter or whatever. And I'm assuming that's not allowed.
I think Instagram should be allowed, because it's only pictures.
That's true.
But Twitter's a no, because that's textual communication, which is kind of against the rules.
Yeah.
Facebook, of course, the show will culminate in a friend request, which yes. is hence the name. But no, I you could add me on Instagram if you want. I don't post there as much as I should.
Cool. I don't post there very much either. I was just thinking of things that, I don't know, thinking of the possible rules.
But the main sort of crux is we will only ever communicate via this podcast.
Yes.
Which is, you know, the whole point is, speaking more to the listeners, you will experience this friendship growing from nothing into whatever it ends up as. Maybe we'll hate each other.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll happen.
That'll be really interesting for you, the listeners, if we hate each other.
Oh, yeah. So wait for the dreaded politics episode.
Oh, good.
At least we could both talk about American politics from an outside perspective.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Last time I was in the States, I got yelled at. I was in Kansas, and I got yelled at to go back to my own liberal country. Because the girl I was with didn't want to sit with somebody who came up and asked to sit with us in a very creepy way. Like, she was being very kind.
Go back to your own liberal country. Wow. Yeah,
that was also in a Hooters, because that was the only thing we could walk to from the hotel, the place we were at. And it was in a Hooters on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, you didn't really give a good...
No.
That's not a fantastic...
I didn't set myself up for success.
No, that's the words I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
A Hooters on St. Patrick's Day. What were you expecting?
I don't know. We had a show that night, and the only place we could walk to from the hotel was the Hooters that was like in our parking lot, basically. Like, not actually, but pretty much. And we all just wanted to go have like one drink because it was St. Patrick's Day, but we were all also exhausted. So we went in to have one beer, and then some dude came up who was drunk, and he had recognized some of the actors from the show. And we were all actually just on our way out the door also. And yeah, that didn't go over well for him.
Yeah, that doesn't, does not sound like it would go well for him.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool part of touring. You end up weird places at weird, like in a Hooters on St. Patrick's Day.
True.
Yeah. That was never my life plan.
I mean, my last major show was in Germany at a gay porn book convention.
That sounds amazing.
That was the weirdest room I've ever played to.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Actually, no. The weirdest room I've ever played to was the one before that. That was the furry convention.
Ah, yeah.
Two weird shows in a row that, again, do not paint me in an accurate light.
What kind of show do you do?
I'm a magician.
Oh, awesome.
So I do weird, apparently gay-friendly, well, very gay-friendly magic shows, but gay porn-friendly magic shows, which I didn't realize I could do. If and when you follow me on Instagram, the second to last Instagram picture I posted with absolutely no explanation, and it's a fake cover of a Chuck Tingle novel. And that was the culmination of the show at the gay porn convention. They crowdsourced the title of the gay porn book, and then I posted it on Instagram 3 hours before the show.
That's fantastic. I'm a big fan of this.
I'm glad, because they didn't seem as enthralled as I expected them to be. I was like, God damn it, I worked for weeks on that.
Aww.
They liked the rest of it though, so I'll probably be going back next year.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never been to Germany before, but I've also wanted to go there.
To be honest, I probably wouldn't go back.
Yeah.
It wasn't as different to England as I'd expected it to be. And it just, I don't know. A lot of it is all World War II stuff, and there's only so much sad you can get in one weekend.
Yeah, that's real.
Especially when you're supposed to go on holiday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the best way to do that is a part of a larger holiday.
Yeah.
Because it's like important to do, but it maybe shouldn't be the entire thing.
I mean, there was the Espionage Museum. That was pretty cool. Spies and shit.
Cool.
But yeah, so I was told by my friend Tommy, who is in a band called Jolly Boat, who you should totally check out, that the best way to get close to someone is to hear them talk about something they're passionate about. So you should do that now.
Oh, okay. Geez, I already talked about my job, which is probably what I'm the most passionate about. Mixing musicals is my absolute favorite thing. I don't know. I'm lucky that I get to do it. I'm also super passionate about podcasts, obviously. I listen to 150 different ones. So
100? How do you have time for that?
You speed them up.
Oh, how do you have time? I can't do that. I struggle to listen at past like 1.2 times speed.
I do 1.7.
Hot damn.
Yeah, I was doing 1.4, and then my friend who I have a podcast with mentioned that she was doing 1.7, and I was like, well, now I've got to do it too, because I guess I'm very competitive. So I was like, well, if you're listening to them that fast, then there's no reason I can't. So that's what I do now.
I'll try that, and I'll report that next time how I felt.
Yeah, let me know if your brain explodes. It's very fast.
I can imagine. Like, I struggle. Like, I listen to like 40, 50, I think, and I struggle to get all those in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you manage 150.
Well, I also work at a sound rental shop, and I'm often alone for the whole day there, or working on something by myself. So I can spend an entire day listening to podcasts while at work. So that also really helps me be able to catch up on them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Why do you love musicals and mixing them so much?
I don't really know. I grew up with musicals. My dad loves musicals. And I grew up like listening to Les Mis and Phantom and all of that in the car and everything. And then I went to theater school and I thought I wanted to be a lighting tech, and did like a semester. We do, the school I went to, we do lighting first semester and sound second semester of first year. And so I took the lighting course and kind of went, oh no, this is not for me. Had a moment of, what am I doing here? Like, I thought I wanted to do theater, but I guess not. And then I took a sound course and I was like, oh, I'm good at this thing. I like this thing a lot. And mixing musicals is kind of, I don't know, it's a very challenging live sound. You have to really be on your toes, and I really like that.
Oh, I can imagine. That cannot be easy.
Yeah, and you have to like really work with the performers and everything. And I like the challenge of it. And yeah, I don't know. I really like learning new shows and having to always be doing your best. Otherwise people will notice. Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same way about magic. Cause a lot of my character is cultivated in, I look like I'm not really trying.
Okay.
But so much of that is an act. If I slip for 5 seconds at the wrong time, there's a very sharp object in my mouth and I could swallow it.
And I'm also sure if an audience member notices a mistake I make, they will complain. And I'm sure that if they notice a mistake that you make, they will delightfully tell you because they're very excited. Is that true?
Like you get like two or three different kinds of audience types, and okay, one of the bigger types is they will point out a flaw if they see it because they think they figured it out.
They think they're smarter than you now.
Yeah. So that is why a big part of performing magic, if you're actually gonna go above hobbyist, is learning how to make a mistake and have nobody notice.
Right.
So like in my shows, I do make that inevitably you make two or three mistakes, but you cover them up.
Mm-hmm.
You pretend they never, you either like in my character, I can make jokes about them. So I can go, okay, that was a dress rehearsal. Now let's try again and remember what you learned.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just sort of do a fancy move and nobody notices, or I don't know.
But, yeah.
A lot of some of the crowds, they think it's a puzzle rather than a show. And if they figured it out, they've won.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that for sure.
If I'm doing close-up stuff and I find one of those, I will just walk away from them.
Yeah, that's real.
And that sounds rude, but they were being rude to me. So
yeah, if they don't want to actually see your act. They just want to prove you wrong. That's not, they don't want to be your audience anyway, kind of.
Yeah. If they just want to solve a puzzle, they can get a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, exactly. Play a video game.
Exactly. Oh, that's another thing I do a lot of, video games.
Oh, me too. A lot.
What do you play on?
PS4, and I just got a Switch.
See, here's the thing. Are we allowed to add each other on our Switches?
I think so. I say this because I have no friends on Switch and I really want them. But, like, you can't talk on that.
No, true.
I feel like we could add each other, but, like, not play Splatoon together or something, you know?
I don't own... Is Splatoon 2... Splatoon 2 is not out yet.
No, it's not. That was a hypothetical.
Side note, I only played Splatoon 1 like 2 weeks ago, and I only kind of enjoyed it.
I've never played Splatoon.
Because in Splatoon 1, you had to aim with the gamepad on the Wii U, and because that was the big, hefty, not too polished thing, wasn't the easiest thing to aim with. But I feel on the Switch, because all the accelerometers are in the one side, you only have to aim with the right hand controller. But yeah, I don't have any friends on the Switch either, because the only people I know with the Switch are the other people that live in my house.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, if you had a PC, could we add each other on Steam? Because that's a little bit of a step up than just gaming together.
I think game stuff is fine as long as we're not actually talking on it. I think it's just how we use it.
True, true.
Right? I have a Steam account, but I don't really play games on my computer.
See, I spent a few grand on a massive gaming computer, so if I didn't play it, I might die a little inside.
Right. I just don't like playing games at a desktop. I've tried. I also have to have Mac computers for work, so it doesn't make sense to me to get another one just for games when I have a PS4.
No, true. I mean, I've been quite tempted by a PlayStation for a while. I had a PS2 back when I was a tiny child. Mm-hmm. And, like, what they're doing with the PS3, the PS4, there are some games out there that I really want to play.
Horizon Zero Dawn is very, very good.
That was not on the list.
Okay.
I have only heard the title of that game. What exactly is it?
It's, like, it's an open world game, which I usually have no interest in, not no interest, but get overwhelmed and then decide not to do side quests or not to care about them anyway. But currently I'm playing Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn, and they are both like the first open world games that I've been like, no, I am going to do every single thing I can find in this game. And it's like a post-apocalyptic, like there's a new civilization that's kind of rebuilding after some sort of apocalypse, and the world is filled with wild animal robots. Like they're all machines, but they act like animals, and you're an outcast. So you're like living in the wild and everything. And then like, the machines start getting more aggressive and you have to figure out why and stuff. And that's kind of where I'm at now.
That does sound pretty cool.
And it's beautiful. It is the only game I've played photo mode in. I usually don't care about that, but I've spent a lot of time like setting up shots and everything.
I feel the same way about open world games. I'm in that section of Breath of the Wild now where they're just opening up every single side quest to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do I want to... It is Zelda, so I probably should.
Yeah.
I feel like I owe it to Zelda. But
I have just Ganon left with the main quest, but I've completely abandoned that, and I'm making sure I do all the shrines first.
Yeah. My partner just finished all the shrines. The reward, I watched him get the rewards for it. It's so worth it.
Oh yeah? Okay, cool. I've done I think 86 of them. Out of 120 right now. But like I got the Master Sword, I got the giant horse, the royal horse. I've done other side quests in the meantime too.
Those Korok seeds though, not looking forward to doing those.
Oh my God, I've barely started those.
There is 900.
Are you serious?
Yep. There is 900 of them.
I feel like maybe I should have done it first so that I could use the inventory slots during the rest of the quests, but I just didn't want to, so I didn't.
if you could like fast travel directly to the... Well, if the guy was nearer to a fast travel location, it'd be a lot more convenient. But because he's that little bit out of the way of that stable, it's just not worth it most of the time.
Well, he moves. So you talk to him like twice in the first place, and then he moves to outside the stable, and then you talk to him again, and then he moves to the Lost Woods.
Oh, does he?
Not the Lost Woods. The the woods that function as the Lost Woods, basically.
The Lost Woods.
Korok Forest. And then he's there, and there's a shrine right next to him.
Oh, I didn't know that. He hasn't moved from the... That's the little amount of time I've put into that game. He's still in the first place.
Yeah, you have to, like, actually get inventory slot. You have to, like, you know, hand in enough Korok seeds for him to move to the next place.
I see.
But it's not very many. It's like two in each location, and then he's gone off to the woods and he stays there.
Well, that's right, a lot more convenient.
Yeah, and then he's like, he is also where the Master Sword is. That's where he ends up. Yeah. Sorry for spoilers, but I don't really feel cool. It's not a story spoiler. It's, yeah.
No, and like I said, I've watched my partner play through most of the side quests and stuff, so
that's what I figured.
I'm kind of all spoiled out.
I don't really believe in spoilers anyway.
Not like... On a game, it's hard to, especially on an open world game, it's hard to give proper spoilers because you're making your own sort of story.
Yeah, I feel like you can get this thing in this place is the kind of biggest spoiler you can give in that game, which isn't really consequential to me.
No, like you could find that out by talking to a guy in a game. It's not really, it doesn't really affect how you do a thing. Like, well, I mean, what about someone telling you how to beat a boss?
I don't mind that. I'd like to attempt it first, but yeah. You know, I'm more interested in, I'm not great at games. Like I'm fine at them, but I'm not great at them. My interest is in the stories of them. So that doesn't bother me very much.
I dig that. I used to be really good, but I've defected to board games now. So I'm a lot better at those than I am at video games, and I've kind of lost how good I was.
Right.
Do you play any board games?
Yeah, I do. I live by myself, so I don't play as many board games as I would like. But I really like Pandemic. I really like Machine of Death. It's, do you know Ryan North?
Yes. I want to say Dinosaur Comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So he did a project called Machine of Death that was based on a dinosaur comic. Where people submitted stories based on like one concept that T-Rex put forth. And it was that you could like do a blood test and it would predict your death, but like in sometimes kind of ironic ways, like, you know, like old age and you would be hit by an old man driving a car, something like that. And a bunch of people submitted stories based on this thing. So he made a book and then they ended up making a board game where you're an assassin and it's like a storytelling game and you have to figure out the way to kill this person based on like, you know, their death card. Do they know their death card? Like that makes it harder and like stuff like that.
Okay. That sounds pretty novel.
Yeah. It's a storytelling one. There's no like board or anything. You just kind of got to figure it out, but there's a time limit. So it's frantic.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like storytelling games. My group are no good at storytelling games, so I don't get to play them nearly as often as I'd like. Mm. Right, well, we've got this game Winter Tales. You play as storybook characters that are in this war, and the only way you can do any actions is by looking at these really weird doodles that you've got in your hand, and you have to use the doodles as storytelling points to move, to do actions, to attack. You can interpret the doodles any way you like. It's really interesting. It's really fun, but nobody else in my house likes it.
That sounds really good.
I really enjoy it.
Winter Tales?
Winter Tales, yeah.
Cool.
It's a fantasy flight game, so there's a massive board and a million different things to punch out when you first get it. It's fun, though.
Cool. Do you play D&D?
Not as often as I'd like, because I stole the plot to the Adventure Zone and started running it with a group of 7 people.
I did that. I did that, but with 2 people.
See, I think there's 7 of us all together, and because there's 7, we can never all get in the same room again.
Yeah.
So now I'm a little bit stuck.
Yeah, I was DMing with people I was on tour with, and now I'm not on tour with them anymore, so we haven't played since, and I doubt that we will.
My a couple of friends and I are planning to do a sort of Adventure Zone style Harmon Questy stage show type thing.
Cool.
The GM keeps pushing it in a Harmon Questy type direction, and I'm like, no, more Adventure Zone, more of this. Because have you listened to Harmon Quest? Watched Harmon? I've never.
I never. Is it a show? Have. I know about it, but I've never listened to it or anything.
I feel like Dan Harmon, he's a genius, but when he's in person, I really dislike his stuff. His writing is great, but him as a person is terrible.
Okay.
Do you...
Interesting.
Do you know, do you, like, do you have any, like, Rick and Morty Community? Do you watch, do you enjoy?
I watched Community, and I really liked it at the beginning, and then I finished it because I liked it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I've seen a season of Rick and Morty, and haven't felt compelled to watch the second one.
I will
there's
not...
There's more than one, right?
There's two. There's soon going to be three, but there's two at the minute. I am not going to go to bat for Rick and Morty because I was sort of bullied into watching it originally by people that were like, it's the best show ever and you need to watch it. And I really didn't enjoy it at first. But I enjoy it now and I really enjoyed Community. I think Community was at the time the best show on TV. And it still probably is up there.
Yeah, I think that of the early seasons, I don't think it ended great.
Well, the later seasons aren't written by Dan Harmon.
Yeah, like you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like cast started leaving and he tried to write around that and it just didn't work. But when you listen to Dan Harmon, like Harmon Quest, Harmon Town, all that stuff, he says some really not okay things.
Okay.
And I'm just, you're not a fun person to listen to at all.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't understand it, man. But I'm ranting now and I decidedly did not want this to be an angry show.
Well, no, it is the worst when you like someone's work and then you find out that you don't actually like them.
Yes. We had that fallout with JonTron a while back. Do you know about that?
No, I don't.
Do you know about JonTron in general?
No.
JonTron is a video game reviewer on YouTube and he was very famous for these insanely funny like cutaways and stuff. You've definitely seen reaction GIFs that are JonTron doing faces and stuff.
Okay.
And then something came out and he made these really sort of weirdly far right political opinions and said some gross things about immigrants. And within like a day, his entire audience was like, no, thank you. We're done now.
Kind of like the PewDiePie stuff.
Kind of like the PewDiePie stuff, except
not... he actually explicitly said these things instead of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
PewDiePie was making jokes and got blown out of proportion. Mm-hmm. They were bad jokes and he shouldn't have made them. But JonTron actually said these bad things.
Yeah. Okay. An important distinction.
Yes. I feel like that PewDiePie thing, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Because he did bad things. And like YouTube doing what they did, they were completely within their rights to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But how the news media handled it was kind of not okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mostly heard about it through listening to Trends Like These and Interrobang, to be honest.
I heard about it originally through them and then I saw some stuff on YouTube and did some reading. But Travis and Brent said, I kind of agree with what they said. Mm-hmm. It's not often that I don't agree with one, if not both of them on that show.
Yeah.
That show is actually kind of the entire reason this show exists.
Yeah. I guess we didn't say that at the beginning, but we met in a McElroy fan group on Facebook.
Yes. We met in a McElroy fan group, and the only reason I know the McElroys is because of Trends Like These.
Okay.
Because I was a big fan of Brentalfloss. And then when he put the announcement up, I found them and then found all the McElroy shit.
I, weirdly enough, started with Sawbones. That was how I found out about the McElroys.
So how did you find Sawbones?
Another podcast that I listened to, gave them a shout out because they liked Sawbones a lot. And so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, it was back when I was listening to, you know, maybe 10 podcasts instead of 150. And I was like, yeah, great. Always looking for new stuff. And just like looked it up and I was like, oh, this married couple is really cute. And then they kept talking like they had the like interstitial ads. Right. And so
yeah,
I listened to everything after that. But like Sawbones was a weird starting point.
It is.
Yeah.
Although like Trends Like These, I feel is a weird starting point because it's not the most popular. There are some people that are not okay with that show.
Yeah.
And that really hurts me, I think, because I really like that show. I still really like that show. I think everything they handle pretty well.
And even if they don't, it's always very, very clear that they're handling it in the best way they know how, and they've tried to figure out what that is. It's never careless. Even when they mess up, it's never careless. And I appreciate that a lot.
Although you mentioned when you were back listening to like 10 podcasts, what I always think is interesting is, what was the first podcast you ever started listening to?
So there are two that I started listening to at the same time. Welcome to Night Vale was one of them, which I have a Welcome to Night Vale tattoo now. I like that show a lot. And Dusted, it's a podcast that has since ended, but it was a Buffy the Vampire Slayer like recap podcast.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to get a Night Vale tattoo, as does my roommate. We're going to see Night Vale Live in September.
Oh, I saw Night Vale Live like a month ago. Which show are you seeing?
I assume it's the same one. I don't actually know, because he bought the tickets as a birthday present and won't show them me. What's the name of the show that you saw?
All Hail was, I think, the name. It was about the glow cloud.
Yeah, I think, yes, that's the one.
Okay.
Night Vale was actually one of the first I started listening to as well. It was Welcome to Night Vale and Crit's Cast, which was a Team Fortress 2 podcast, because that's exactly the kind of cool person I am.
Yeah, one of the first that I started listening to was a Pokemon podcast. And I remember telling my friend who's into podcasts, and she got me into like Stop Podcasting Yourself and The Savage Love, like all the like standard ones that I just hadn't heard of yet, I guess. And I told her, like, I listed, and I was like, yeah, and there's this, like, you know, also I listen to Super Effective. It's a Pokemon podcast. And she goes, don't ever tell anybody that. And I was like, no, I love it. And she was like, keep that one to yourself. But I still listen to them too.
Why is that a bad one? I don't.
Because it's nerdy, I guess. But whatever, I really like Pokemon with or without this podcast, so.
You're listening to people make radio shows on the internet.
I know.
It's all nerdy.
Yeah.
Stop Podcasting Yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I hear ads about that all the time on the Max Fun shows. I've never quite understood exactly what it is. What is it, and why should I listen to it?
So my understanding is it's been running for a while, but it's basically just like two comedians talking to each other and being funny. And they have a guest comedian each week as well. And they're very, very funny. But like, that is the entire theme behind it. So, just funny people.
So it's just a two dudes talking type show.
Yeah. Okay. But they are actually hilarious and Canadian, which is cool to me.
So bonus points.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know. I think it's really funny. I enjoy listening to it. It's and they do a segment called Overheards, where people like call in with weird stuff they've overheard, and that's always a good time to listen to that segment.
All right, cool. I feel like everyone mentions it in like lists of podcasts, and the ads do a terrible job of selling it, because I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, and that's because it's kind of nothing, but they're very good at talking about nothing. So,
like the Flophouse, half of that is nothing, and I know what that is. It's
yeah,
a bad
that's
movie
true.
Podcast with half an hour of nothing afterwards.
Yeah. I don't listen to the Flophouse.
I've tried it like several times, mm-hmm. and I always end up unsubscribing, because I'm just like, it shows up in my feed and I just have no inclination to listen to it.
Yeah, I've done the same thing.
Well, then again, I recently unsubscribed from Sawbones for the same reason. And I feel kind of bad about that. I may go back to it. Maybe might try it again. I don't know.
Skip the episodes that aren't about things that I am interested in, but I always check the titles and then decide whether I'm going to listen to them. I'll probably listen to half of the Sawbones episodes that come out.
Yeah.
And I will listen to all of them, but it's just the sheer volume of podcasts that I'm listening to means that some of them have to get skipped sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I skip a couple just in general. Whenever my like Up Next gets more than like 15 episodes, I panic a little bit and start skipping.
Yeah,
which is probably nothing for someone like you that listens to a billion podcasts.
I'm gonna check right now and tell you how many are in my Up Next. Unplayed, 773.
What?
Yeah, but there are some backlogs of like radio dramas that I have subscribed to and haven't started yet in there. So that would be the reason that that's so big.
Okay,
there's probably like 200 that are actually up next.
But like 200.
Yeah.
So, like, when you subscribe to a new podcast, do you start from the beginning, regardless of what it is?
Only if it's fiction. I listen to, like, a lot of fiction.
See, like, fiction is, again, for me, the only thing I'll start from scratch. But, like, I hear people, like, they'll subscribe to, like, my brother and me and start from episode one.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a topical news podcast, and they'll start from episode one. They're like, what's the point? None of it's relevant anymore.
Yeah. I just subscribed to, like, to Nancy and started at episode one because, it's not very far into it yet.
Yeah, I feel like Nancy must be on, episode, five by now?
Yeah. I listened to one of those, and I really liked it so far.
I need to listen to more English podcasts because I don't do nearly enough of that. But, like, English podcasts and American podcasts are so very different because there's a lot less money in British podcasting. Not that there's a lot of money in American podcasting anyway, but, you know,
unless you're doing radio drama for the BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, the only podcast that the BBC put out are literally just shows they've done on the radio.
Yeah.
There is no original BBC podcast, which blows my mind because they could do so much cool stuff.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking through to see if I listen to any English podcasts. Cosmic Vertigo, is that? That might be. But I don't know. That's a space one. It's very good. It's like pop culture space.
Pop culture space.
Yeah. Well, it's not really. It's like a science podcast about space, but they're so passionate about it that it becomes incredibly accessible almost immediately because they just get so excited and want to tell you everything about the thing. It's really great.
That is both cool and adorable.
Yeah.
I like hearing people get really passionate about things. Like I mentioned earlier.
Oh, My Dad Wrote a Porno. Do you listen to that one?
I don't, and I don't know why. I just, whenever I go and look for new podcasts, I forget about it. So I'm going to go subscribe to that, like, right now.
It's very good.
Again, don't know why I haven't subscribed to it yet. I just, so, okay, you have to, I want you to recommend to me one podcast.
Just one.
What is
one.
It going to be? Just one.
Okay.
From
you need to give me a minute.
Billion.
Yeah, I need a minute for that one. Okay. Because previously it would be Dusted, but that isn't a podcast anymore. So if
And also I have never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay, so then not that one, unless you wanted to watch it for the first time, which it is my favorite show in the world. I highly recommend.
That's why I said it very quietly and very quickly, because it tends to be people's favorite show.
Yeah. Geez, just one is hard.
Okay, I'll let you three.
Okay, that's easier. Because then I can throw in fiction and nonfiction. Wolf 359 is my favorite audio drama.
Wolf 359?
Yes.
So go on, give me a tiny little elevator pitch of it.
It's people who are orbiting this star called Wolf 359, kind of scanning for alien life, and it starts with the main crew and it kind of grows from there. They're like pretty far into it now, but it's... I don't know. I really like space and I really like radio stuff. And the main character kind of has like an appreciation for stuff like that as well. So it's kind of written by people who clearly love it and it's good.
That's cool. I like the sound of that.
I mean, I'm just trying not to recommend McElroy shows cause you already know them. There's the Sound Show, which is good.
The Sound Show.
It is a show about sound. It is maybe the nerdiest one I have, but it's like, there's one where they do, like sound illusions and you listen to a bunch of illusions and like they show
that sounds super cool.
Yeah.
Already.
So there's that one. Oh geez. One more.
I'm subscribing to all of your recommendations and then I'll let you know next week.
Perfect. I will do the same. Okay. Do you have some? And then I'll see if I can figure out what is my last choice out of all of these.
I will recommend Answer Me This. Do you know that one?
I don't.
Answer Me This is two people, Helen Zaltzman and Ollie Mann, and they basically do kind of similar format to My Brother and Me. They don't do the Yahoos though, so it's only fan questions. They only do one episode a month, which is not great, but every sort of fortnight in between they release one of their older episodes, and it's just, they're super funny, they've got super good chemistry. That's the word I'm looking for. I kind of want to recommend the Chris Moyles podcast, but I'm not going to because half the people that listen to him hate him.
Okay.
So I'm not going to bother doing that. He was a very sort of, he was a very polarizing DJ on Radio 1, on the BBC. And then he left and joined another station, and he was very famous, but not very well liked. And I just think he's a very different mainstream radio DJ, and I'm always in line for that.
Okay, I have two for you, because I don't know whether you've heard of one of them, but have you, because it's McElroy, but it's not like new, but Losing the Sheen, have you listened to that?
I have not listened to Losing the Sheen.
Do you know about it?
I know the premise.
Okay.
I thought it was a YouTube thing.
No, it's a podcast.
Losing the Sheen.
Yeah.
So, is it still going?
No, it's like they did it for one season and that was all they could manage, but it's worth listening to, and you don't have to watch the show.
I've seen, I think, two or three episodes of the Two and a Half Men post Charlie Sheen, and they're just not good. Not that they were good before, but they're just not good.
Yeah, I know. You really get that from the podcast too. They're just like, by the end of it, they're like, please don't make us watch anymore.
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons.
I don't know that one.
It is a Simpsons recap podcast. Every week they have a guest on that recommends an episode that they recap and talk about basically how genius The Simpsons is.
Okay. Don't watch The Simpsons, but I would love to understand references that literally every other human makes. So
you don't watch The Simpsons.
I don't love it, and I know that's terrible.
Well, a lot of it's not good, but the stuff that is good is really good, so
maybe I've seen the wrong stuff.
Probably. I think the general consensus is now there's more bad stuff than there is good stuff, but like the first 10 seasons are all really good.
Well, if these guys do it based on like recommendation and not in order, I'll totally just do whatever. I'll watch whatever one they recommend next and I'll listen to it.
Oh yeah, that's a good strategy, because the guests come on with their favorite episodes, so they're going to be the good ones.
Cool.
And my last one, here's one that I just discovered today. It's called The Cryptid Factor.
Okay.
It's Dan Schreiber from No Such Thing as a Fish, and Rhys Darby, who has been in a couple of movies, who was in Flight of the Conchords, and a couple of other guys talking about cryptids and when they crop up in the news. So like the last episode that I listened to, there was a faceless fish. There was a house that was requesting like a nanny that they were paying exorbitant amounts for because the nannies kept running away because the house was haunted.
Okay, this is amazing. I'm definitely going to listen to this.
It's cryptids in the news. It's amazing and I love it. The Cryptid Factor.
Cool. All right, I've subscribed to all of those.
Wonderful. Yeah. I feel like this is a thing we should do week by week, recommend each other things.
Yeah, so we have been talking for like an hour about nothing.
So thank you for listening to this hour of nothing. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye, thank you.